Why is the Christian life sometimes so hard? It's like I'm wrestling with something. You are the object of active resistance from spiritual, supernatural, evil, invisible foes.
We're so glad you've joined us on the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and we're continuing our series, Strong for the Battle, looking at spiritual warfare and how to survive it through the power of Christ alone. Last time, Don began showing us the nature of the battle through the first of 3 points. Don painted somewhat of a picture for us, showing our foes to be unseen and supernatural in their power. Today, he'll emphasize that the battle is not fought in some distant domain, but up close and personal in the most common aspects of our lives. So have your Bible open to Ephesians chapter 6 as we join Don Green now in the Truth Pulpit.
Secondly, the nature of this spiritual battle for you, and this is sobering what we're about to see here, is that your foes are not only spiritual, they're not only unseen, they are supernatural in their power. Look at verse 12 with me. And notice the words that convey authority and strength and might in what Paul has described here. Verse 12, he says, your struggle is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces, ESV says the cosmic forces, the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. There is a powerful realm that Paul doesn't describe in much detail, but having said that there is a devil with schemes, he goes on and describes rulers and powers and spiritual forces that are arrayed under the devil that are engaged in a struggle and a battle against you. You cannot see them, and they have strength that is greater than yours. Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light, it says. You and I can't do that. Not persuasively, anyway. There is a supernatural wicked realm arrayed against you in your spiritual life. As you walk with Christ, there is a battle going on that you can't see and that in your own strength you don't have the power to do anything about. That's kind of frightening. That's almost intimidating. And it gets worse as you look at this. Look at verse 12 with me again. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces. Look at this. Of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. These foes are not merely unseen. They're not merely spiritual, supernatural forces. Beloved, they are wicked. Do you understand that? The whole point of this is designed to cast you like a wave, that the wave of this reality of truth about the unseen realm is designed to be a wave that casts you onto the shore of God's truth and strength and resurrection power. Paul minces no words. These foes, these forces arrayed against you, these demonic beings are dark and wicked. How dark? Look over at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 44. What is the mark of this darkness and this wickedness? Well, Jesus gives a sense of it. Our reliable, trustworthy friend tells us what the devil is like. When he's speaking to unsaved people, he says in verse 44, he says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. What's the devil like? He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. This wicked realm is overseen by the devil, who Jesus says is a liar, one who is a murderer, in other words, who is a bloodthirsty deceiver. And he has these wicked forces somehow arrayed under him. Scripture doesn't go into much description about that. And so you and I are not going to speculate about it here today, because we can't see it, and we can only verify that which is true by what Jesus has said in his word anyway. But this wicked realm is one of incalculable deception, wickedness, and is bloodthirsty after your well-being, to destroy it, to harm it, to harm you, to bring sorrow and evil about in your Christian life. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It just bears repeating that your foes are hidden. They operate in the heavenly places. Look at verse 12. Our struggle, Paul says, yours and mine, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not a human battle that we're facing. It's not a human warfare that we're engaged in. This is a spiritual battle against rulers, powers, world forces, darkness, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places, in a realm that you cannot even access, is where the battle is engaged. That's what you are facing here. And so Paul, in this brief description, giving us enough description to attune us to the reality of it, its existence and its nature, says this is what you are up against. Here's the thing, beloved, you who are in Christ, you are the object of active resistance from spiritual, supernatural, evil, invisible foes. Now, you don't feel it. How are you to identify it? What else can we say about the nature of the battle from this verse? Well, this is where I think it gets very, very helpful. I realize that as we're talking about invisible things that we can't see, that Scripture doesn't give us a whole lot of detailed information about. It's, you know, how do I get my hands on this? How is this practical? What can I make of this? Let me just say one thing. Now, I've used this word in recent days in other settings, and it is a really important word for the Christian life, and especially as we deal with this demonic realm that we are talking about. And the word is this: restraint. Restraint. We must restrain ourselves from trying to delve into a wicked realm that Scripture has not revealed a lot of details about. It is for our well-being that Scripture limits our knowledge about it, and we are not to dive into it and run in where angels literally fear to tread, as it were, and start speculating about geographic territories or what demon answers to another demon someplace else. That's all a lot of foolishness that can only distract your mind away from the truth revealed in Scripture and into speculative areas that you cannot verify one way or another. God has told you enough to put you on alert, to make you dependent, to make you cautious in what you do, and yet He has said a small enough amount to teach us restraint, not to speculate, and not to engage our minds with a bunch of Christian fiction that would draw you into a realm that you were never meant to go into to begin with. If that was necessary for your spiritual well-being, beloved, God would have revealed it to you, because His Word is sufficient to make us adequate for life and godliness. The fact that we're not given a whole lot of encyclopedic information about it is to protect us and to help us, that we don't get fascinated with the darkness instead of reliant on the light. Now, having said that, and the restraint that is necessary as we speak about these issues, what else can we say about the nature of your battle? You're going to relate to everything I'm about to say if you're a Christian. All those lights are going to go on in your mind here. Point number two, you fight a close battle. You fight a close battle. And here's what I mean by the word close. The battle that you fight as a Christian, where this realm intersects with the reality of your life is close in the sense that it is personal and it is intimate, and sometimes it is even moment by moment. Paul, look at verse 12 with me. Paul calls it a struggle. That word for struggle is a word for wrestling. And if you think about Olympic wrestlers or anybody that's on a mat going against a foe, you have a sense of the closeness. It is breath on breath, force on force, hand-to-hand combat, personal force resisting personal force, struggle, wrestling. It's a severity of contest. Relax for a moment, and your opponent will flip you on your back and pin you. That's the nature of wrestling. It's tight quarters where it happens. Now, there's something else. I don't often do this, but in this instance, it's very important. The closeness of the battle is very much reinforced by the preposition that Paul uses. The preposition that he uses. Look at the many, many times he repeats the word against. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Against, 5 times in that one verse. That must be important to say it that many times. And in a general sense, it reinforces this sense of battle that we were talking about, that there's a contest going on that you're engaged with. That's what the word against means in English, that you're fighting against someone or something. But I want to take it just another step further here. Remember, we said that Paul describes it as a struggle, wrestling kind of thing. Against, I'm going to give you one Greek word, and this one's for real. I know sometimes when I say I'm going to give you a Greek word, then I'll say something silly like duh. And, you know, and so I undermine my own credibility as I approach it here today. But today I'm serious. This word against is the Greek preposition pros, P-R-O-S, if you were going to transliterate it into English. It's the preposition pros. And beloved, here's the thing about this preposition. The root meaning of this preposition is near or facing. It's the preposition that's used in John 1:1 when it says that the Word was with God. Jesus Christ in pre-eternal glory with the Father was with Him, face to face, intimate communion kind of thing. Closeness, right there, hand to the face as it were. It expresses close proximity. Think about it. Struggle with a word that means wrestling, followed by a multiplied use of a preposition that means close, proximity, facing, near. And you start to get the picture, right? It's a struggle. This is a perfect preposition to be used alongside the wrestling metaphor. Your battle is close. Your battle is personal. It is in your face. It's a close battle. That's why Paul calls it a struggle. You don't struggle with what somebody's doing in, you know, Butte, Montana. It's remote. It's distant. It doesn't have anything to do with you. Well, in like manner, these Christian novels that were written in the years gone by portrayed it as a separate realm that was disconnected from daily life. And that's why it made it easy to speculate and to step into it, because it was disconnected from reality. Oh, beloved, here's the point. What Paul is talking about here is intimately connected to your daily life. And I'm going to show that to you in just a moment here. You're fighting a spiritual battle and you're fighting a close battle. And so we're kind of zeroing in here. And now you'd ask the question, if I were you, I would ask this question. I'd be waiting for this question to be asked. Well, where is it? Where is it played out? If I can't see it, I can't hear it, can't smell it, can't touch it, then in what way is this a real battle? You're going to find that you already know the reality of it. Point number one, you fight a spiritual battle. Point number two, you fight a close battle. Point number three, you fight a life battle. A life battle. And here's where I want you to really engage. Paul is writing Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, in the flow of a long letter that he has already written, where he has already said a lot of things, right? He has said this, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he said this, having already made three prior references to the devil and to a spiritual dark realm, right? I've showed you that. You've been able to see that for yourself. This is all woven through the book. Well, now, if we want to understand what Paul means by the struggle, if we want to understand how it intersects with our daily life, this dark, invisible realm, beloved, here's what you got to understand. Now we are letting our principles of interpretation guide our understanding, and this becomes very, very essential to you. When Paul writes this verse in chapter 6, verse 12, he has not suddenly disengaged. This is just so important. This is just so important. Your protection is found in what I'm about to describe to you here. When Paul writes this verse in chapter 6, verse 12, he has not suddenly disconnected himself from everything that he said before and stepped in and just started talking about something completely different and unrelated to anything else that he had said in Ephesians 1:1 through Ephesians 6, verse 9. No. That would be foolish. There's nothing to suggest that kind of radical break with his flow of thought. Where's the battle? Where's the struggle? Paul is assuming that you know, that you have a sense that there is a struggle about the Christian life. And throughout the book of Ephesians, beloved, now we're going to step back, look at the broader context, and let that inform our understanding of this somewhat invisible verse, in one sense, talking about an invisible realm. Throughout Ephesians, the Apostle Paul has called the Christian life a walk. A walk. What is your life in Christ except it's marked by your family relationships, your workplace, and your involvement in the local church? Once you cover those areas, there might be a few things on the margin, but the core of what's important, the core of what engages your life, is all covered by those realms and the areas of correction and instruction that Paul gives within them. The book of Ephesians is close. It's personal. It's intimate. It goes to the very core of who you are and what you are to do. Now, let me ask you a question, a personal question. Don't you know from personal experience the struggle in your life in some of those areas? Don't you know what it's like to wrestle with difficulties in what's right versus what's wrong? That you want to do the right thing and yet sometimes you find yourself doing the wrong thing? That there are issues in relationships that just seem irresolvable and that weigh on you and make life difficult, and your workplace is hard and harsh and unproductive sometimes? Isn't your own path, your own walk with Christ, beloved, isn't it pockmarked with your own ineffectiveness, indifference, and failure, past and present? Beloved, Don't you realize by personal knowledge and experience what we're describing here? Why is that? Why is the Christian life sometimes so hard? It's like it's a struggle. It's like I'm wrestling with something. It's close and intimate, and I can't seem to separate from permanently. I can't get away from the fact of this struggle. Why is that? It's a struggle because it's the nature of the battle, beloved. You are trying to live for Christ in the midst of close, supernatural hostility. Behind the scenes, there are unseen wicked forces that hinder you and make it difficult, that throw roadblocks and barriers into the way, that, as it were, again speaking metaphorically, stick out their foot and trip you. What do they do? How do they do it? Where does this realm play out? What do? They insinuate false doctrine to you. They distort and twist the Scripture in a way that sounds appealing and sounds right, and you start believing things and doing things that aren't true. What do they do? They tempt you to sin. They tempt you to doubt. They flatter your pride. They flatter you and make you think that you're doing pretty good and that overall God's pretty good, pretty lucky to have you on His team. They exploit your carnal desires. They set you at division with family and other Christians and in your workplace. How do we know that that's what Paul's talking about? Beloved, do you see it? We know that's what he's talking about because it's what he's been talking about the whole letter. This is the whole thing. And so now, at the conclusion of the letter, having said everything that he has to say, he says, beloved, I've laid out all of the duty to you. I've corrected you and said everything that there is for me to say now. Finally, as we look back on the totality of everything that's been said to you, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Why does he need to say that? Why does he cast you back upon the resurrection power of Jesus Christ as the source of your energy and ability to live out what he's been instructing you in chapters 1 through chapter 6, verse 9? Why? Because you don't have the power to do it on your own. Because there are forces arrayed against you that would cause you to stumble everywhere. And therefore, when he says, be strong in the strength of the Lord and in the strength of his might, he's saying, in this whole realm, as you live this out, understand you don't have the spiritual resources in yourself to resist the hostile, spiritual, supernatural forces that seek to cause you to stumble. And therefore, you must walk humbly before the Lord, humbly coming to His Word, humbly bowing before Him in prayer, saying, God, teach me the truth, page by page, line by line, help me to search this out. Oh God, I breathe out a spirit of dependence. As my Lord Jesus said, oh God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why did Jesus teach you to pray that way in Matthew chapter 6? Was Christ just giving you a meaningless piece of fluff that had no relevance to the reality of life? Why did he teach us to pray? Oh God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why that spirit of prayer? Because evil is right there close as a threat. Beloved, this is why you have God's Word in your hand. This is why God sent the indwelling Holy Spirit. And what you need to see is that God calls you to dependently go back to these resources again and again so that you are able to resist these spiritual forces.
And so we're reminded just how serious the nature of the spiritual battle we face is. and that without the power of Christ, we would be helpless to prevail. Pastor Don Green will have more of our series, Strong for the Battle, on our next broadcast, so be sure to join us then here on the Truth Pulpit. Well, Don, in light of what we've learned from today's message, we need to be cognizant of the spiritual war taking place in all aspects of our lives.
Well, I think that's right, Bill. Whether you think about life at home, at work, or at church, there are unseen spiritual forces that are working to undermine us and to oppose our efforts to grow in Christ. But my friend, be strong in the Lord. Jesus Christ has made the way for victory for you. Stay in His Word, rely on Him in prayer, and put your trust entirely in Christ. He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Thanks, Don. And friend, we hope you'll visit thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about our ministry and the resources we have available to help you stay strong in Christ. Again, that's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, inviting you back next time when Don Green presents more from The Truth Pulpit.